I'll call the Thursday, July 23rd Plan Commission to order. Mr. Fuchs, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Commissioner Hogan?
Here.
Commissioner Thinnes?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Commissioner Morrow?
Here.
Alderman Dandria?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here.
We have a full house. Please rise and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just take a moment to welcome Alderman Dandria to the Plan Commission. Move on to item B, approval of the minutes of the regular meeting on July 9th. Any additions or corrections?
Motion to approve.
Second. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Vote is 5 ayes, 1 no. I'm sorry, no noes and 1 abstention. Move on to item C1, Rawson Pub Bar Restaurant with Outdoor Entertainment and Concert. This is a rezoning public hearing. Mr. Fuchs, you have a notice to read.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, July 23rd, 2015 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application by Stephen D. Schweitzer for approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance to rezone a certain parcel of land from M2 General Industrial District to B2 General Business District for the property located at 5621 West Rawson Avenue.
This is a public hearing. Mr. Deedle, you want to give us an overview and then I'll open it.
Aerial photograph of the property is up on the screen. The applicant would like to add an addition to their building, to the corner of the building on the southeast side. They would also like to add a garbage dumpster enclosure and a shed. However, when they were investigating that with staff, found out that this property is so old that predates the UDO and is not too uncommon, is currently not an allowed use within that zoning district. But it would be an allowed use in the B3. So the applicant, with staff suggestion, is going to propose to rezone so they are no longer a legal non-conforming use. They would be a legal and conforming. And then subsequently, they would be asking for a special use. It would be a special use for this building addition. Public hearing, this one is just for the rezoning. It'll be a second public hearing tonight for the special use. As the applicant, or as the plan commissioners may know, the applicant wasn't able to provide materials for tonight's meeting. Wasn't until about last week that we found out his email wasn't working. So we never received any materials, and when we did figure that out, there wasn't enough time for the applicant to put anything together. So staff would be recommending that action on this matter be tabled till the next meeting so the applicant can put some materials together for our review.
But first, I will open the public hearing for this particular matter. Is there anyone here wishing to speak on this matter? Mr. Lewandowski, please come forward. Give your name and address, please.
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winton Way. Allowing this activity to be put in place, I would recommend that we do something different than we did at the Rock. We've got problems out there with the lighting, the noise, people are complaining. I don't know how you're going to solve that problem. We're going to come up with another problem. Basically, it don't bother me, but it sure as heck bothers a lot of citizens that live not only in Franklin, but in Greendale. So I think we ought to take some precautions, especially with the lighting and the noise that the Rock has been doing. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Seeing no one else, I will close the public hearing. Mr. Deedle?
So a clarification, I think I said B3, it's B2. So at this time, staff hasn't had any chance to look at the materials, form a recommendation. So staff will be recommending tabling action on this item to most likely the next meeting.
Is there such a motion?
I move table item C1 to our next meeting.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. We have a second here. Mr. Fletch.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, July 23rd, 2015 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as a matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application by Stephen D. Schweitzer for a special use. Property currently zoned M2 General Industrial District, application pending for rezoning to B2 General Business District. Drinking places require special use approval to B2 District to allow for a bar slash restaurant with outdoor entertainment slash concerts business use, with applications related site development to include construction of a building addition for a kitchen on the southeast corner of the existing Rawson Pub building, the addition of a shed at the south end of the pub parking lot, and installation of a dumpster enclosure upon property located 5621 West Rawson Avenue.
Thank you. Mr. Deedle.
Same as with the previous item on this project. The two would be going concurrently together. The staff report would be addressing both at the same time. So we'd be asking for tabling of this item as well. As the public hearing notice mentioned, it is going to involve a building addition and some accessory structures. And with the proposal to be a B2 zoning, this type of use would be a special use, and they're anticipating, hoping for approval of that, and therefore asking for that special use as well. So staff would be asking for tabling tonight.
We'll open the public hearing on this matter regarding the special use application. Is there anyone wishing to speak? Anyone wishing to speak? See none, I will close the citizen or the public hearing. Is there action regarding this matter, Commissioner?
Just a quick question.
Follower.
Joel, can we get a, I'm staying with Mr. Lewandowski talked about, have there been complaints on this tavern?
Not that I'm aware of. We did check. They did have a temporary use approval for a concert last weekend and the weekend before. There were no complaints for that event. Otherwise, going further back, I'm not aware of any, but I didn't check either.
Is there something is that difficult to check on?
No.
Different complaints?
No, not difficult.
If we could have that the next thing, I would appreciate it.
Chairman of the License Committee is sitting right next to you.
Oh. Yeah, but I don't remember all the licenses that come in front of us. No, I mean, as a chairman on the License Committee, I'm not recalling a lot of or any real police activity or complaints that would have come from this area. I think Mr. Lewandowski is concerned more so of issues that are arising from the Rock. And if we're doing outside entertainment and outside concerts, to make sure that we coordinate our efforts to be concerned neighbors to all the people that surround and live in, let's say, earshot of these activities. Okay.
Is there a motion to table in the next meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item D1, Kayla's Playground, overnight camping to secure construction site. Mr. Deedle.
Temporary use, fairly straightforward. They've been a long time working on the Kayla's Playground at Franklin Woods Park. They're getting very close. There was a groundbreaking ceremony this evening. They would like to have 24-hour, 7-day-a-week during the construction staff on site for security purposes. They're going to be storing a lot of building materials and construction equipment and tools on site during this construction and build. Therefore, they would like to have some staff on hand at all times. So their proposal would be to have an RV or motor home parked in the existing parking lot. Up to 3 individuals will be residing in that motorhome, providing site security at night as well as during the day. It would also serve as a first aid station and a place for volunteers to get coordinated. But for the temporary use, or the temporary use, the only issue would be the overnight camping aspect. The applicant or the city engineer did provide a lot of additional information to explain how this is all going to fit into the whole scheme of things. But for the temporary use, the only thing they need that for is just the overnight camping. Staff is recommending approval similar to the previous one for the construction of the Victory of the Lamb Church on Loomis Road, with conditions that they keep everything aesthetically clean. They provide or they address any comments or concerns that other departments like the fire department or the health department might have, although it appears at this time the health department doesn't have any requirements. So we are recommending approval of those conditions.
City engineer, any additional comments?
I think he covered it.
Questions for staff? Action regarding the site.
Is there a motion?
That's right. Is there a motion to approve a resolution opposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of temporary use for overnight camping to provide site security during construction on Kayla's playground upon a property located 3723 West Putes Road, Franklin Woods Nature Center, Special Park.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we move on to item D2. What you're about to have is three items. Presentation by Mr. Fuchs on the status and the possible development areas that we talked about way back when, a year or so ago. This is not only a courtesy to you folks, but it's also mandated by the Common Council in a motion made June 10th. So, Mr. Fuchs, we will do currently Area A.
Areas A, G, and D, as we call them. We have to go back to the Tickner report. A is really the 76 in Rawson, Loomis Road corridor, and we looked at that for, the city's been looking at that for potential retail development. Area G, the orange, is Loomis Road and Ryan Road corridor. We looked at potential mixed use development, and then Area D, the green, looked at the 27th Street and County Line Road corridor for potential business park development. And as I said, we can start with A. Here's a closer look. The boundaries, Loomis Road, east and west of Loomis Road. There's the rock, so north, and really includes north and south of Rawson, all the way down to the Sendix West development. This is Sendix here, and then this would be the Hoosier Park, formerly found as a Franklin development. The city is contracted with Grafe to study Area A. They have developed a concept plan, or actually a couple concept plans. When they looked at it, they identified a few issues that would pose challenges to the area being developed. Primarily, there's an access issue for the properties on the east and west side of Loomis to have access from Loomis. This plan shows where you'd probably, the DOT would probably allow access as it currently exists today, which is way down here. Another issue is there's a methane pipe that goes across the right in the middle of this property, this area here. Other impediments to development would be just existing wetlands on sites and the lack of documentation on the fill site, the large area on the east side of Loomis. So the first concept plan is up on the screen. It's basically leaving things as are, so the access issue still exists. And because of that, we would anticipate more destination-type uses, which would be uses, your medical office, fitness centers, and movie theater uses that someone's going to be planning ahead to
go to. We'd also think absorption would be an issue due to primarily the access problem. So this is their initial concept plan, and because it still has those issues, Greg took a look at possibly removing ramps and changing the traffic patterns in the area. So this map shows in green areas that would be removed existing ramps. So basically then you'd look at having the access go through the developments. You also gain the developable area. So this area adjacent to the rock goes from about 2.5 acres to 9 acres of developable land. The red is the commercial, retail, restaurant-type uses that the city could potentially get more of. So some destination-type uses, and then the yellow is single-family, and then there's multifamily. So right now, the city has submitted a traffic impact analysis to the DOT. They started their review. We did receive some comments and questions. Grafe submitted responses and additional information on July 14th. So right now we're waiting to hear back from them. Grafe also put together some cost of improvements and estimated development values. With the first alternate, they estimated $73.68 million in value and anticipated about $31.2 million in costs, which is a ratio of about 2.4 to 1. The goal in looking at TIF district would really be a value-to-cost ratio of at least 4 to 1. The second alternate, when removing the ramps, had an estimated value of about $85 million with estimated cost of $26.86 million, which is a ratio of 3.2 to 1. As of now, and according to Ellers, the city's financial consultant, the numbers just don't work for TID, so they've recommended consideration of a realistic scheduled absorption of development along with some reduction in cost to determine if the plan would be feasible. So really, for Area A, the next steps, it will be kind of taking a closer look, potentially reducing those costs. And really, at this point, it makes sense, staff believes it makes sense to wait for the DOT to respond to the traffic impact analysis, because there will be additional cost to rework the numbers, and if that's not going to happen, we obviously would have to take a different approach. So one last thing I'll show is just the, as I mentioned, the Area A does go down to close to 51st Street. So this concept doesn't change with either plan, A or B. But essentially, again, the Bridger Park, it's commercial off of Rawson. In other areas, you'll see both plans that you'd have commercial off of Rawson with possibly multifamily behind these areas as well. So at the, and staff has, the council got an update at their June 10th meeting and did make a motion directing staff to continue moving forward on this area.
Commissioner Sinis.
Okay.
You're more important than me.
Well, I didn't know you were going to say anything. First off, question is, point of interest that are starred on here, what are those?
What map are you looking at?
Well, both of them have them on them. The little yellow star that says point of interest.
Community gathering spots, little park areas, places to sit, that kind of thing.
Like destination places.
Yeah.
You're thinking of big development. These are smaller park, you know, go sit and coffee.
They're public access because they're located in a multifamily residential area.
It would be a fountain in the middle of the...
Okay. The other question I have is the area by the rock that goes from 2.5 acres to 6 acres I'm seeing an extension of the developable land up to the northeast, but I'm not seeing any changes. Is that entrance ramp still staying there? Off of 76th Street?
No, so potentially you could still access 76th Street, but this would be, this area green would be removed.
Because I'm seeing the increase in that area is all to that side of that site, but yet there's no change in the roadway. I don't see how the...
What would be removed, the ramp would, in essence, be shortened. So as you come south on the on-ramp, where it bends around, ostensibly that's what, where it would connect with Loomis Road. Then the on-ramp that currently exists all the way to the south to where it becomes an on-ramp would all go away. So there would be no on-ramp southbound from Rawson at that point. You would have to go through the development. There would be no direct on-ramp. And no long on ramp from 76th Street. Does that make sense?
No, because both plans are exactly the same in that area. If you overlaid them, they'd be identical. I just don't see how. Because I know there's a lot of grade issues out there on that site with the grade down to Loomis Road. And I, you know, without having those roads actually moved out of the way to flatten that grade, I don't see that happening.
Mr. Deedle.
Retaining wall? I think they were looking at a retaining wall in that second option.
Correct, yeah.
So then that would take care of the grade issues and that would open up some more developable land, potentially.
It could also include the area south of Rawson. If you look at the change in the plan, that area south of Rawson.
It's got to fill you the map that's up there. The green isn't very well defined, but if you look on the on-ramp from 76th Street, you can see that it's pretty well, in this drawing, is pretty well defined. We got to fix this before first. But everything else to the south goes away. So to get on from 76th Street to get on southbound Loomis Road, it's a very short trip now, as opposed to the long one that it is today. And then that would open up the rest of the area for development of retaining walls, and we got Mr. Fowler's pipe to worry about. But that's all. You can deal with that stuff. As well, you know, the Parks Department met with us. Crystal Ridge Drive doesn't need to exist. Okay. And thanks for acknowledging it. That's walking out on the internet. So that opens up other opportunities.
Crystal Ridge Drive.
How
do you now, get into all this development back
here? Well, it could be driveways.
Driveways,
from both sides and terminate inside a development. It doesn't need to be a through street for traffic purposes. Just do this.
The point is it opens it up for development. It doesn't lock us into that configuration.
Offers flexibility in where the roadways go.
One thing that Nick mentioned but didn't go into, there was a market study done by an independent consultant out of Illinois who defined in broad terms types of uses for these different areas. This plan was born from that report. With that report, strongly questioned absorption for this area based on the competition in the market and location.
Yes.
Mr. Fuchs, unless somebody has more questions on this one.
Move on to Area G, which was also studied by Gray. Looking at Loomis Road and Ryan Road. This is 112th Street and 124th. So Grafe identified several infrastructure and land development issues, including a lack of water service, a needed sanitary service extension, location of existing overhead transmission lines, existing wetlands, and the adjacent landfill use. The concept plan for this area includes a mix of uses. The grayish color here is industrial. Yellow is single family. The red is commercial, retail, restaurants, which would be off of Loomis and Ryan. And this area is a potential mixed use, commercial, multifamily area. Grafe initially estimated a total value of $167.3 million and $42.8 million cost, which is a ratio of 3.9 to 1. According to Ehlers, and they looked at in more detail, if all $167 million occurred in year one, the TIF would just cash flow in the final year if extended a full 20 years. Obviously, we would not anticipate all the development in year one. So they recommended establishing a plan of absorption coordinated with a phasing of insulation infrastructure. So again, it would be looking at just possibly paring down the TIF costs, those type of things. We have had two developers show interest in the area and even developed a their own concept plan. So it includes, their concept plan includes a similar mix of uses. This is an industrial area. They have commercial off of Loomis Road and Ryan Road. And then this is single family. The area is just a portion of area, of our area G. It consists of lands that are currently on the market. North of Loomis, they have multifamily. So they looked at doing that. We had our consulting Kempfer and Associates evaluate what we required for water system improvements. They determined that to do the development, based on this, the developer's concept plan, that a elevated storage tank would not be needed, which was a cost initially included in Graves' assessment. So there's a, well, well, when we go back, start looking at costs again, that water cost was, I think Graves had over $7 million, which is going to be able to be significantly reduced. So the next step for Area G will be to look at those kind of reductions, the size boundary of the TIF, if there's any phasing options, along with Ehlers' recommendation to continue to consider the general absorption and any and the market study that we have. Once that's done, we can continue to work with developers and any plans they have and hopefully move forward. The council at their June 10th meeting also directed staff to continue to move forward with the potential TID for Area G.
Questions? Commissioner Hayden?
You mentioned that it didn't appear as if there would be a water tower needed at this location. At the previous meeting, I believe the city engineer had indicated they were looking at a water main extension down 116th Street. Does that assume that that has to happen in order to provide this? And I know it's part of a bigger plan. 116th Street is very problematic for water mains. You don't have the developable land to support it. Almost everything out there is in conservation reserve.
Yeah, city engineer can probably maybe explain better. But
so my question is really, does that have to happen in order to make this work?
The city engineer.
A tower is not needed for this development. We have talked about the extension of like a 16-inch main down, not for the fire or not for the domestic use, but for fire flows is needed, and so we would like to loop it and or put a tower in, but it's not needed for this phase.
But the main would come down Loomis, not
correct.
Not 116.
But the proposal that you showed us of a 16-inch main down 116th is still being entertained.
Yeah, we would need to loop it. In some other direction.
I'd strongly suggest you do some outreach to the neighbors. That will not fly. You want a battle, bring that one.
Okay.
I got news for you. It's easy to get battles around here.
Understood. Again, fire is important, but that would be a very expensive burden on all of those property owners there, and they don't need it.
Correct.
Large front footage.
We do need to loop the water system at some time somewhere, but so
Loomis Road might be the suggestion.
Any other questions regarding Area G? Okay, seeing none. Hey.
Move on to Area D. We'll spend a little more time on it. Was the focus of the council motion on bringing these areas to other boards and commissions, including the Plan Commission. So it's Area D, looking at a potential corporate park. It'd be west of 27th Street, south of Oakwood Road, north of County Line, and east of Milwaukee County owned property in the Red River. This area is currently located within a TIF district, TID 4, which also extends to the Whedon Hospital and Whedon Medical Office Building to the north. The TID was created in 2005, which means expenditures may occur until 2020 and taxes collected up to the first quarter of 2026. So we are under the existing TIF time constraints with this project plan. The areas in yellow are the proposed phase one. I'll note parcel one, this large parcel here, is included in phase one, but does not have any project costs included with it. The idea would be it would be a potentially pay-as-you-go, either property owner or developer financed, paying the cost up front, or depending on the project, if it was large enough, the city could consider other options, whether it be a overlay TIF district or a new TIF district. That would just depend when something would come forward for this piece. The also included in phase one is this piece right off of Oakwood Road. That's included. Again, no cost associated with the phase one, but we do have a development proposal. A developer is looking at this for two industrial flex buildings. The first building would be 125,000 square feet. The second building, about 100,000 square feet. They're estimating about $12.5 million value. The phase two then is in gray. That includes the Went property, a portion of the Biller property here. And this is actually on the corner of 27th and Oakwood. That is all one larger parcel. Again, only that area where we have the proposed development would be phase one. The corner, again, would be a future phase to be determined, depending on any proposed development. And then the existing businesses would be left for a future build-out phase. Let's zoom in here. The project costs for the original TID were about $22.6 million. The project plan allowed for a 15% increase, which takes it up to about $26 million. Money has been spent in the TID already, about $5.7 million. And the projected cost for the Phase 1 improvements, which I'll go into a little more detail later, are about almost just shy of $19 million. So the plan is under by $1.3 million. So this page, so the city worked with MLG staff, other consultants, to make some development assumptions. This goes through the project costs. It includes the infrastructure, grading, landscaping, streets with sidewalks, property acquisition,
developer management fees, so that this is just really the breakdown of that $19 million in the phase one costs.
Nick, on this chart, you'll notice that the heading here says phase one industrial, phase one commercial. For purposes of our planning and for our purposes of zoning, there is two different areas in this particular development, and Nick will describe those.
Yes, so the industrial, and really it's talking business park, similar to the model would be after the existing Franklin Business Park. So off of 27th Street, you'd have the business park area. The commercial would be adjacent to 27th Street, where we'd look at higher density, high quality office. This lot one here has good visibility even from 94, so you know, potential corporate headquarters. But really, the phase one costs are just associated with the business park portion, so the industrial.
The financial significance of that is that obviously frontage on 27th Street will have more value, and we budgeted that way. We budgeted about $1.1 million per acre for what in this particular area is being called commercial. And about 768, I don't have my numbers in front of me, it's roughly 750,000 an acre for the what we're terming industrial, which we really want to have everybody understand is business park use. So compare that to what's currently in the business park. The business park is currently valued at about 468,000 an acre. So we're looking at a significant rise in values. Some of that can be directly attributed to land cost, and some of it can be attributed to building cost. So there you
go. The development of assumptions. So this looks at, you can see year by year. So back starting 2005, we have the actual costs. The TID, so we're now looking at 2015, 2016. There is a reduction, $539,400. That's a result of the city purchasing property, so that accounts for parcels being removed from the tax rolls, which is reducing the prior TID increment. Otherwise, the assumption, how many acres per year for development are listed here. So, for example, 2016, there's 8 acres, and that has the value. And we're also showing these two numbers, the 8.75 acres in 2016 and 2018 with those values. That is the proposed buildings I was referring to that are off of Lakewood Road. There's also an assumption, 2018, $15 million for a second Wheaton Franciscan office building. So you can see the totals here and the value added would be that $111 million. This goes into the future value of the tax increment. So the TID had a base of just under $20 million. So this is looking at that, adding the over $111 million, which will yield a future value of the increment at almost $26 million. And again, it goes from by year, the value added. total of almost $26 million. This shows the city's borrowing. The initial, so over $4.5 million could be borrowed in 2015 and $11 million in 2016. And again, this is just for the phase one costs. Longer chart, they'll have to scroll. I'll scroll through, but shows the cash flow, really summarizes the project, the projected revenues and the expenditures from year to year. And I'm going to skip over to the end, which shows the breakdown, the cash flow year to year, like I said, and that the TIF would be, there is a two-year cushion in paying off the TIF district. In your packets, there's also a second chart that Ehlers did, it's the last page, they did basically as a stress test to see what happened if, for example, the Wheaton Franciscan building would not happen. So it would be taking that $50 million out in 2018. There are some years, or some additional years, where the cash flow is in the red, but in the end, the numbers do work, and the TIF would close out. So for Area D, the numbers, the financials, the project plan do work. As I mentioned, the Common Council had an update at their June 10th meeting and directed staff to return to several boards and commissions, some additional requirements to notify state officials, school districts, the county. So we are in the process of addressing that and would anticipate going back to the Common Council there August 18th meeting.
Questions on this particular area?
Just quickly, what was the ratio on this one?
This did meet the 4-1.
4-1.
That's actually more than that.
I don't.
It's like 4.6 to 1.
Quick question. The school tax for this particular area would go to?
This area is in the Franklin Oak Creek Joint School District.
But the entire city would still the people that are in the Franklin School District who might not benefit from the school property tax would be paying the finance that through the city.
Correct.
Because, you know, I just keep harping, kind of get some business development in that area. By that. And on the cost of the other two areas on 76 and Rossin, I mean, in the one, it got to be almost 3-1. Are there ways to increase the cost on that development around or get a kid to work, or there's just no way to make it? Seemed to be close. It was like 3.6.
Yeah, at this point, you know, both areas are not moved out by any means. Area A, the 76 in Ronson, you know, once we have the DOT approval, hopefully have it, we'll go back to the cost. Grace's first assessment of doing this was really, and their cost really included, mm-hmm. I mean, everything. So there's going to be make opportunity to potentially pare those costs down. And who knows, really, once you start working with a developer in the area, mm-hmm. what they're looking to do, that could certainly change things. So,
well, my concern is, if you look, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, you have floor.
My concern is with the Franklin School District, not the Oak Creek Franklin School District, the Franklin School District, at some point, we're going to need to replace that middle school. We had the last referendum to rehab the high school. I don't want to, you know, Janet Evans is here as president of the school board, knows a lot more about this, but I just don't know how the funding for to get at some point a new middle school, either that middle school have to be renovated, or we'll need a new one at some point because it's just going to outlive its useful. I think it was built many years ago. getting some of these 10 districts in line now in that area of the Franklin district perhaps would help offset some of the burden on the residential property owners that would have to pay for that middle school or converting the current high school to middle school. I just want to see that happen. These are things I've thought about in the past. It's just I have a concern. I'd like to see if we can make it work. I know it's going to be difficult.
Well, actually, frankly, the opposite effect is true. The less TID districts we have in the school district,
that would be true too.
Benefits the school district because they get 100% of the tax revenue.
I understand that, but I understand under the current situation where municipalities are in fact in some ways competing with each other for businesses, some other municipality is going to offer a TID or a TIF, and it makes it difficult to attract business. I understand that reality, Mayor. I would prefer not to have to use these. I don't like them. But it seems to be when you're trying to attract businesses to an area, this is one of those mechanisms that it's something that might have to be used. I would prefer not to. I agree with you. I would prefer not to have to do that.
Well, a couple of comments relative to the school district issue. First thing is, while it's true that the people in the Oak Creek Franklin School District would get, I'm going to use round numbers that are probably inaccurate, but let's, you know, they would probably get 40% of the benefit eventually. Mm-hmm. Immediately, they will pay 40% of the cost. So that's 40% of the cost that's not being borne by the City of Franklin taxpayers, who, if this was in the Franklin School District in the City of Franklin, in essence, because of the way it works, 100% of the tax is being cost is being borne for this. So there is an advantage putting it down there on the startup, because they pay the cost, 40% of it. There's a common thought that goes around that we can put businesses where we want them. You can't put business where you want it. Business goes where they need to go. And what we've found is that there's a lot of interest because of 27th Street, because of the future Elm Road interchange, because of the current interchange at Ryan Road, because of the visibility of the area from the expressway, that this particular area, even from all of our consultant reports over the last 15, 20 years, this is the place to do this, regardless of school district. And I can't talk about it, but there is interest in this area. But the interest is based on availability of sewer and water and roads. And right now, two-thirds of that, and more than that, three-quarters of that area is not sewered and does not have water available, and there's obviously no roads. So it needs help, and that's what we're talking about doing, and it makes sense. We just got to now say go, because the clock's ticking. It's 10 years left on this TID. That's pretty aggressive. Sorry, Dave.
No, I'm sorry.
Commissioner Thinnes.
Nick, on this first page here, where you have the project costs.
Yeah.
Originally, this TID is capable of $26 million, slightly over that, in total cost for the entire life of the TID. Okay? Correct?
Yes.
Okay. To date, we've only used $5.7 million. So we have a ceiling yet of $20.3 million. And we're proposed cost at $18.9 million, we're going to leave us with $1.3 million of a buffer in there right now. But none of these costs in here, estimates, include anything with phase two, as I see from this other, or for phase one commercial and industrial. I'm still not understanding what the difference between industrial and commercial is down there, but I know what phase one is, and phase one is only about half of that development area and only a fraction of the entire TID that's left. So it's going to put us in a position where if we want to do any other developments in that district or do any more in this second phase, we're going to be looking at amending the plan to add more money.
Well, potentially, and depending on the timing, but yeah, potentially, as how depending on how quick things progress, but the city could look at overlay TIF district or a new TIF district for phase, for the cost of phase two and any future phases.
Can you lay a new TID on top of an existing TID?
Do an overlay, but there's some very specific requirements.
Because there's a certain length of time where you can adjust costs on those, isn't there, like up to year 16 or 17 or something like that?
I'm not that part of the TID law.
Because we're into this thing by 10 years now. There's 7 years.
The advice from Ehlers is do it clean, do what you can with this TID now before you do anything else. As Nick mentioned, phase two would be a pay-as-you-go. So the developer, the thought there is that a developer would pay for the infrastructure costs, and a TID overlay would, or a new TID, would then reimburse for those costs over the extended period of time. So it's a reverse TID in essence. Similarly to phase one up in the upper corner, on the northeast corner there, that there is no commercial in phase one because it's anticipated a commercial will only be located along 27th Street. So it will be the top corner of the Mar Farm there. And the bottom corner, which is Fox Glen Partners property. Those are the primo spots. Those are going to be the higher value per acre spots. Neither of them, they're all in the TID, but neither of them have expenditures planned because we're thinking that that would be a pay-as-you-go. There'd be higher value, shorter payoff possible with those, and therefore they would make better financial sense as a pay-as-you-go. Similarly, phase two, same way. We just don't have the time nor the money to build phase two. So should there be interest, we would be able to address that in the future at the time that the interest presents itself with road layouts, sewer and water design, that kind of thing, and do it as a reverse TIF, or as a TIF overlay, or as a new TIF.
And I would just add, you going under the existing, doing this under the existing TIF, there, the city is able to utilize increments that have been collected already from the Wheaton and get to utilize that increment.
Yes, if you close it out and do a new TID, you start with zero in terms of increment. So it reduces your financials tremendously. So that's got
but it keeps that increment out of the city's use also because it's encumbered, right?
Correct. I will point out that there currently isn't cash flow such that the current TID expenditures can be paid off. Really, the additional expenditures will accelerate the payment of the TIF district. If you look at the cash flow. Mr. City Engineer.
I'd like to point out that right now this currently financially makes sense. As Commissioner Fowler can maybe verify that MMSD is currently in the process of taking some action that would help reimburse us for one of the largest shopping items on this list for the sanitary sewers. So it's going to look even sweeter when all said and done.
And I think Nick mentioned it, but as it relates to infrastructure on this particular TIF, there's sewer that runs down Oakwood Road. There's water that runs down Oakwood Road. There's sewer that stops on 27th Street where the circle is on the north there. And for those of you who don't know the topology of that land, where the word says phase TBD, you run a line east to west, kind of, on a slight diagonal, the land all falls off pretty severely to the south. So in order to develop that parcels with sewer and water, you need to locate your sewer in the farthest, lowest space, which happens to be down at the bottom where there's that circle there. So that's why you start from the south and move to the north. You got to put the infrastructure in anyway. You might as well start there and move north. Make sense?
Maybe.
It'll have to be lifted, though?
Yes, correct. But again, we're talking MMSDs. There's lots of stuff going on that we can't talk about that would cause that to be a minor minor expense. And the so Mr. Hale. Commissioner.
The current boundary of the TIF versus the existing one, can you show us what's being proposed to add to it?
Well, we're not adding.
I thought the surface area was increasing in the same box.
Same box.
So you can see this is the red outline is the existing TIF for the area, and we're following just south of Oakwood, that line, so it's just not including, or we're just not showing on that plan the residential and the two completed properties.
Thank you.
The Common Council had asked for comments and opinions from the Commission, so if anybody has a comment or opinion on this particular item, or none at all, whatever you'd like.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask a question?
You sure can.
Have you had preliminary discussions with Milwaukee County to feel out the decision makers of Milwaukee County to see how they're feeling with granting us an approval to move forward on this if we would?
The answer to that is yes. However, there is no approvals necessary from any other agency due to the fact that it's within the current TID expenditure plan. So we don't need any other approval. However, I did meet with the county executive, the director of administration, and the economic development director, went through all three plans with them. They won't give a formal opinion unless they were part of a TID, unless the TID review board needed to act on it. But we did discuss all three areas, and I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. My impression was is that their impression was the same as ours is, and A and G need a lot more work, and that D financially run, so they didn't have, they didn't express any issue. They did not positively express a approval, nor did they say it was bad. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but it was a good meeting.
Yeah, thanks,
Commissioner Haley.
The existing facilities right in the middle of the TID, what's the destiny? They're not, they would not be actually included within?
We don't have the money to take them. They're in the TID.
The boundary is, right, but there's existing facilities there. So
right.
The assumption is that those would go away and be replaced with something, or I'm just curious.
Excellent question. When the TID was initially designed in 2005, we expected to have the money to relocate those uses. With the shortened TID period of only 10 years to develop increment, there's not and the limit on the dollars for expenditures, there's not enough money to take care of those businesses the way the law requires and the way we would do it properly and recover the revenue. Get to the numbers or something. Similarly, we had originally planned in the 2005 TID plan to relocate the electric lines, the high tension lines that run through the property. We had a bad estimate in 2005, and even if it was a good estimate, we still don't have enough money and time to recover to relocate those lines. So that's why the lot configurations are the way they are and the street configurations are the way they are. The time is our enemy in this one. Right, Nick?
Correct.
Comments?
A lot of natural resources to work around out here.
And there's going to be a lot of natural resources in there.
A lot of wetland.
We have had a sewer pack delineating wetlands in the area. Kind of mapped out different areas to start with around the roads here, and we've had meetings with the DNR.
D DOT is going to raise the grade of 27th Street. See the circle down there? It's going to go up 8 feet?
10 feet?
A lot taller than us.
All this flood's down.
And yeah, the water detention basin will be down there. There will be a roundabout farther south, but it will not connect to I-94. It'll be a frontage road. And then there's the connection, the future Elm Road interchange that's supposed to happen. All of those are good things.
Commissioner Fowler?
And I would caution again, as I have before, you can see the Root River, just I think that's the Root River,
yep,
just to the west. Mm-hmm. Sewer pack is, we are still waiting at MMSD for sewer pack to complete their update of the models of the Root River, and I'm anticipating, just using my judgment, that flows will probably go anywhere from 10 to 15, will increase by anywhere from 10 to 15% if they follow the pattern of the KK River, the Kinnickinnick River, which would cause an elevation increase of anywhere from 1 foot to 3 feet in different locations along the river, depending on where you are in the watershed. So that could have some anticipated impacts because they haven't mapped that. That would change the regulatory floodplain. And this district is, and they do have flooding at 27th Street, I think, as Commissioner has pointed out, and it would be, I have not seen the plans for the bridge at 27th Street, because right now that throttles back and prevents flooding downstream, and if they open that up, they've got to figure out what they're going to do with the extra water. That detention basin could be off the bid if they have to do that.
Mr. City Engineer can answer that.
I was going to say that DOT has talked about raising that bridge, and that would move it downstream.
Not our problem. But it becomes our problem to a certain extent. It becomes my problem.
Commissioner Hannity.
One other point to consider, and we don't know where it's going, but the whole issue of diversion of water to Waukesha, the proposed discharge point is, yeah, up at 60th and Oakwood Road. They'd be dumping all the return water into the river at this point. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if anybody's really looked at the modeling on that.
It's been discussed. I don't know about
my understanding is the amount of water that they would be, again, not having seen their agreement. The flooding issue, it would be more of a quality issue to me than a flooding issue, because supposedly they will not discharge during flood events. They're supposed to discharge the other direction. How are they going to do that and get that through the IJC? I don't know. But that was what they had talked about. I think it's not going to be. Elevation increases in the flood plain, or the flood of the base flood elevation that I'm concerned about, have to do with the new statistics that are used and the recent spate of big storms we've had that are going to cause more of an impact. But it's true, I think, from a water quality standpoint, what's coming through our community has some concerns for me from Waukesha as opposed to the volume.
It's not clean water.
There's not clean water.
No, or they'd be drinking it.
Mr. City Engineer.
It actually is very close to drinking water quality standard. It goes through a tertiary treatment. It's one of the few wastewater plants I know of that actually does that. Also, I understand that Waukesha has told me that in their proposal, they actually have money from the Corps of Engineers that would allow the City of Franklin to use the water for what I call a purple pipe system. So Corps of Engineers would completely fund our project idea, but it would go a long way towards that.
We do these to take advantage of the individual members' expertise. With Kevin and Dave on here, we got lots of expertise. But I think it's important to note that both our consults and city staff have had lots of conversations that, frankly, we can't or won't talk about. But your issues help reinforce what we've already talked about. We have caught some things based on your conversations. And that's why we do that. Yeah, and you should, and I appreciate that you do it. It's important. There's lots going on in this city right now, but there's lots of potential. There's nothing going on in the city, but there's lots of potential. If we can break the logjam, we may be boomtown, and we may have some exciting things relative to innovations, purple pipe system, different way of green roofs, and all kinds of different things, but we got to break the logjam.
Okay. One point here, I'd like to ask the city engineer, when we talked to Waukesha,
if they get this permission to do the diversion, my understanding, they will have to put funds available to the communities that are impacted. Would not the city of Waukesha may perhaps be a funding source for our Purple Pipe Initiative, maybe some stormwater retention, maybe some interesting concepts of sustainable development at this TIF district? I don't know. I'm not an expert on those.
Yeah, I haven't seen the full application. I just know talking to the water manager at Waukesha, based on what he's told me about their application. Again, there's Corps of Engineers funding that they would apply.
I know about that one. Yeah, there's funding that Waukesha needs to go up above and beyond what they're doing to pay for diverting the water back and some of the ecological harm that they're doing to the Great Lakes. And since we're part of that Great Lakes and we're a community impacted by the pipe going through, we would conceivably, I was told, again, anecdotally, that there would be monies available, made available to us to do some remedies and mitigation, and we might think of how we can capture something.
Good, yeah, I'll keep that in mind next time I talk to him.
So we're all creative people, we all have imaginations, and we all are pretty forward-thinking. So if you put a lift station down at that circle, what else could that be used for in one of their communities? And who would pay for that?
They're expensive to maintain.
And who would help maintain it?
What's the situation on our existing lift station? We're on Forest Coleman.
Well, I think that one's retired. But back to this one.
Okay, well, I'm just saying that I believe the district bid that one, and it's ours now, and I see him working on it all the time.
Well, you got to do what you got to do, right? You need a lift station.
It comes at a cost, is the point.
Okay. If you can find someone to share in the cost, wouldn't that be a good thing?
Well, it's still all our money. Just a different pocket.
And if it ain't ours, there's a city right across the street.
But your taxpayers are paying for the district. It's their money.
That's why it's important for business. At any rate, there's lots of things going on.
The entire district would fund the capital costs over them. Operation maintenance costs would be borne by the communities.
There's lots
those
of
are, and those for a lift station, those costs could be significant.
All I'll say is our staff is very good at creative thinking, and we've got some consults that think out of the box as well, and there's lots going on. Anyone wish to offer suggestions, or is there a motion to adjourn?
I move adjournment.
I'll second it.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. The